My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep up with everything going on right here at 92.9 FM ESPN, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to subscribe, and free to listen. You can keep up anytime, anywhere with the Odyssey app. Dennis Spiller is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. It's Tuesday, so that means my partner in crime, my company for the day is Tim Murray. He, of course, host at VSiN, VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Episodes available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget to check out VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. local time. Host of VSiN Primetime, airing each and every weeknight on VSiN, on Twitter, at one Tim Murray. Tim, I had every intention of checking in on your tailgate show, but then my wife and I had to go look at some houses, so I apologize. I'll be there this Saturday, I promise.
You got things to do. Pop in. No, I don't fully expect people to hang out for all 3 hours. If you want to, that's cool, but stop in whenever you get the chance.
Do we have the video function as well?
Sure do.
And where do we go for that? Just back to VSiN.com?
Yeah, YouTube TV, if you're a YouTube TV-er. And, there's a couple regional networks that carry it, but nothing, obviously, currently in the Memphis area. But, from the television standpoint, YouTube TV, if you're a YouTube TV-er. And if you have, if you got the sports package because you want the Sunday ticket or Red Zone, then you've got VSiN.
All right, so I'm going to discuss that because we have our total football. We had a listener one time that we always would get confused because one thing that I've actually loved about the world of sports in the last few years where it felt like we were so tribal about what sports we'd watch. Like, for some reason, we decided you couldn't watch football on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, everyone would just be like, how dare you? And then we realized, like, wait a minute, I can have an extra day of football. So it would get confusing when you'd say, like, week one or week two, and it's like, wait a minute, I thought it's week three. We just call it total football. So if you've got overreactions from college football, from the NFL, we're just going to say total football, week one, overreactions. We're going to start with that. Next segment, we'll get into our award segment that we do, and we started last week, so we'll talk college football primarily there. We'll get into the list to start the second hour. We got another Shanny running back that runs for 140. I think realistically, I'm pretty confident Tim, even in our washed mid-30s, Kyle could still get us about 20 yards in a game. I'm pretty confident he could scheme it up enough. So we'll discuss how that might have gotten us in trouble or gotten him in trouble, maybe gotten Kyle in trouble. Also, we have the Tyreek Hill video that was released. We'll discuss all that. Then I want to get back into some college football. Let's get into the trust tree. Who are the teams that we do trust? Also, maybe take a look at some of the early lines. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. So I think I wanted to start first with just overreactions from Total Football Week 1. We still did a lot of penny talk yesterday, so unless you've got like outstanding questions, I've had enough penny talk for right now. Like I can move on to some football. I had my first weekend without the ESPN family of networks on DirecTV. All right, so we did Fubo.
Oh, okay.
I want to be very clear. This is not Fubo's problem. I hate it. I can't do it. Like, Tim, do you realize how many years I put into watching TV to be a professional like I am? And then I'm having to go and get the Apple TV so I can do a side TV that's split screened. And then you're depending on your internet at all times and you'll just lose the stream halfway through. It's like, there's one thing that I can always depend on DirecTV. Unless there's a massive thunderstorm and it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. Like, maybe you lose your feed for about 5 minutes, but it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. I know that it's going to be there. And I feel like I'm just doing the same problems that I did when we moved Sunday Ticket over to YouTube TV. Like, I understand if you have the world's fastest internet and you want to be a cord cutter, that's in your lane. But there's just some of us that aren't built for this. And I did not find it to be... I had the same problems that I have with the ESPN app. Like, I know the games that I want to go and watch, but I can't find it. And then I'm like scrolling out, or I'm exiting out of the app, and then you're going to the guide and whatnot. It's just like, I know that I could do this much more much faster, whatnot, if I just had DirecTV and ESPN getting along. But yet again, we're no longer in the age of the consumer. We are in the age of who gets the better deal between the content provider and the content creator.
So on Fubo, are you able to do multi-screen situation?
If you set it up through your... Let's see, when I ran it on Apple TV, when I ran it on my Apple TV, not so like, you know, the physical Apple TV, I could set up a multi-screen. Now, that's great in theory, but I cannot tell you how many times on Saturday alone I had to just completely exit out of the app because all four screens were just at a standstill, like just stopped, whatnot. Or, you know, half the time you've got two games going and then two are stopped. And then, you know, if you want to rotate the, you know, if you've got one game that turns out to be a blowout and you're trying to get that one off, it was a very, very difficult process, but primarily because there's not a great way to scroll for the other games. Like, I was getting into a lot of, would you like to watch, like, procedural dramas from the 80s? Because that was on live TV. And it's like, no, I would not. It's a Saturday. I'm trying to watch football.
So did you switch back to normal programming, DirecTV-wise, on Sunday?
So the issue, yes. But, I mean, I also have Sunday Ticket. So you run into that. Now, early, it was fine because the two national games that we got were Bears-Titans, which is what most people wanted to watch to see Caleb's debut, and then Pats-Bengals. And then there were like six other games in the early window, but realistically, if you watch the first snap of Panthers-Saints, you realize pretty quickly you were good. And despite being a Giants fan, you realize pretty quickly how that thing was going to go. So you can move that off pretty quickly.
So I know it's a Tuesday, but maybe this leads into overreactions. Was the Titans +4 one of the worst beats of all time?
No, that would be if you got the negative closing line value of Arkansas +7.5. That's one that I'll take to the grave.
So I was on Titans in the Circa Millions contest out here in Las Vegas. And for those who don't know what that is, it's a pick 'em contest. You pick five games against the spread every week, and it's a, you know, they set the line for you, and then you pick those games, and you hope at the end of the year you're one of the best, and you win a whole boatload of cash. So it's a year long competition. And I was on the air on Sunday, and we have Titans Bears as one of our games in our studio. And I've almost averted my eyes from it. I'm like, that's all right. We're good here. 17-0.
17-0 in the NFL when you're catching. What'd you get? 4.5.
For the contest, it was 3.5.
Okay, but you're still pretty good there.
Right. And the fact that the Chicago Bears did not score an offensive touchdown, had 148 yards of offense, and the Tennessee Titans did not, let alone win, but cover, has to be one of the craziest things ever. And I feel like the gambling gods, either I did something to upset them or they owe me one, because that was brutal. And then I also had the Rams on Sunday night, which, I mean, to be honest, once it went to overtime, I knew I was dead. Like, I knew it was over. And, of course, catching north of a field goal, the new rules have stated that once you get the ball, go score a touchdown, the game is over. This tweet made me feel all that much better. The Titans led 17-0 and failed to cover the spread. Dogs of four or more points that led by 17 points at any point in a game were 66-1-1 against the spread since 2019.
I mean, it is one of those ones where, so you and I, being college guys and watching the NFL, I'm pretty sure you're right there with me. You never really had the Will Levis gene.
No, I was never a big Will Levis guy. I thought he would be. I was kind of buying low on the Levis stock this year, but I've never been a big Will Levis guy. It always felt, I wouldn't say full on Joe Milton, but it felt a little like, hey, I could throw the ball really far. You should draft me.
And I always kind of feel bad because Titans fans think, like, I'm picking on him. The reality is, I actually find his personality engaging. He seems to be a little self-aware, seems to have a decent sense of humor. I would actually like to root for him. But I've just watched this drill time after time. It's like Penn State, when they were reeling, they couldn't turn to him. I watched it at Kentucky. It's like he was fine-ish, but you just realize, I mean, that's an all-time pick six. Like, I can't really think of many that are a whole lot worse. And, I mean, I watched Daniel Jones throw a pick six on Sunday that was so fast and happened so quickly that I couldn't figure out exactly what happened until I saw the replay. And that still wasn't as worse as Levis's pick six.
It's one of, I'm really not one of these, the greatest of all time, worst of all time people. It's usually somewhere in the middle. It's not, you know, things that we see this, you know, yesterday aren't the most outrageous thing we've ever seen. That's got to be one of the worst plays in the history of the NFL. Like, I'm not saying the worst, but it's got to be, like,
I mean, here's the reality.
It lost them the game.
If that would have happened, he had the advantage of it being noon. Or for us, it's sure. The central time, it's the noon window. So the 1 o'clock window, and bad plays during the 1 o'clock window, even if they're on, that game I think was broadcasted fairly widespread. But you get the advantage. If that would have been a standalone game, that would have been in butt fumble territory. I believe that in my, like, because I'm with you. I think oftentimes we do the whole, like, we don't apply context. We don't have any history. It's like, I've seen a lot of bad football. If that would have been in a standalone game, that would stay on ESPN's not top 10 for, like, I don't know, seven months.
Wasn't the butt fumble on there for like two years?
And it's like every Friday I used to look forward to, like, just firing up. Like, all right, I want to see it again. I mean, that would have been up there with the Colts punt, the fake punt.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was horrible. The swinging, just
what else? Well, I'm trying to think of the Leon Lett fumble, but I mean, that's also like
fake punt was so good.
The Colts fake punt's an all timer. I mean, to me, that
was
is...
Was that McAfee?
I think McAfee's the one that goes under center, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's so great.
Now, the thing, though, is I do think Titans fans now are in this weird spot of, what do you do? Because I don't think even most Titans fans believe in him anymore. But there is also kind of in the back of my mind, like, we'll talk about some other overreactions we can have from the week, but that Bears defense is a good defense. And do you hold, like, we saw some bad quarterback play from a lot of people this week, but I still just haven't even seen a spark that makes me believe, like, maybe. You know what I mean?
With Will Levis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to make Packer fans feel pretty good that their new starting quarterback for the time being couldn't.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing.
Stay on the roster.
What do they do? Can you legitimately play Malik Willis?
That's what they're going to have to do, man. Going to have to let Matt LaFleur scheme it up. I mean, Jordan Love, we don't know how long he's going to be out. They're not placing him on IR, which is a good sign. So they're thinking maybe he comes back within the 4-week window. But I will say this. The Packers' schedule, now they're an underdog this week at home to the Colts, which is pretty wild. But their schedule for the little bit here is not brutal. It's home to the Colts, at the Titans, home to the Vikings, at the Rams. They could easily lose all of those games if Malik Willis is as terrible as some people believe he could be. But you've got playmakers. You've got a really good coach in Matt LaFleur. Can you scheme it up enough?
Man, I don't know. Like, did you watch on Friday night him try to throw a Hail Mary? Like, he couldn't, like, get the football.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. That's kind of probably a bad spot to be in where it's like, you just had the horrific, at the time, everyone's thinking, like, the worst with Jordan Love. All of a sudden, you're just thrown in there. But it's like, you got to at least get a throw off. I mean, right?
So, as you look at the schedule, if Jordan Love misses the next 5 games and he's back for their home game against the Texans, what could they do against the Colts, Titans, Vikings, Rams, and Cardinals with 3 of those games being at home?
I mean, I will say this. You might be able to run on the Cardinals, but at the same time, it's one thing to sit there and go, well, the Bills ran pretty effectively on the Cardinals. The Bills have Josh Allen. Like, and maybe the Packers, if they have Jordan Love, they can run on the Cardinals. But, like, when you have no threat of the pass, it's the same problem that we saw with Michigan this weekend. When everyone knows that you cannot throw the football and you don't really want to throw the football, it's a lot easier to stop the run.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, unless you're Penn State last year against Michigan.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would also say, like, you know, in that game, Michigan was fully healthy offensively, like, up front, and you still had the threat of maybe McCarthy throwing. Like, there were a couple of called passes, and he, like, took off and ran, and then one, I think, he threw a pass, but then it got negated. But, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, that, it feels like to me, if you're going into that game with Malik Willis, if you win a game, you come out net positive in that 5-game stretch.
It's just so crazy when you think about the NFL, man, and how quickly it all changes with one injury. And we've seen this year after year. You know, the Browns struck lightning in the bottle last year with Joe Flacco, but more often than not, you know, the Kurt Warner, you know, situation when Dick Vermeil's crying and saying that we're going to rally around Kurt Warner and play good football, that's kind of the outlier as opposed to the norm, where more often than not, you're going to get the Jets situation from a year ago where how the hell did that team win 7 games with that mess of a quarterback situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is also kind of the interesting issue moving forwards. Like, I feel like if we did a historical analysis, doesn't it feel like quarterbacks are getting hurt at a higher rate in throughout the season? Because last year, to me, like that was a huge story.
It does, and it's crazy because we're protecting them more than ever, right?
Right.
And that's kind of the irony of this whole thing is where, you know, the league certainly feels like it has a quarterback issue in the sense that these teams are getting their – our quarterbacks are getting hurt, and yet we're changing the rules, it feels like, every day to try to protect them.
So I've had a working theory on this, and it's kind of tough to actually test out. But one of my working theories on it is this is something that Brady has complained about a lot. And I know sometimes Brady gets some flack for being kind of old man yelling at clouds. But I think there's something to it in the sense that so many of these quarterbacks now, most of them grew up in the RPO game. And if you watch when guys grow up in the RPO game, they grow up like wanting to hit home runs and hitting the big shot play. And then further, you add in the fact that so many of these coordinators, like your path to getting a job is putting up massive explosive plays, points, exciting offense. And what I think has happened is you've started leaving a lot of, and I know this doesn't really apply with the Jordan Love one. The Jordan Love one is just kind of bad luck. But a lot of these, it's sometimes you're asking a tight end to block like Myles Garrett, and that's not going to happen. And so because you're trying to scheme up these massive explosive plays, it leaves a lot of these offensive linemen exposed. And now you've thrown in where guys are holding the ball, trying to make big play. And so they're just – maybe they're not taking the exposed hit that like Michael Vick would have taken once upon a time, but they're taking more exposed hits than I think you realize.
Yeah, I mean
– although I'll also say this. I don't know how much you dug into it. I had mentioned it on yesterday's show, but I thought this is interesting. And maybe, again, this is sample size. Run-pass ratio from week one this year, 55-45. That's the lowest pass-first percentage since 2008. I do wonder if teams now there's a lot of reasons that could go into that. Number one, a lot of teams are starting young quarterbacks, and of course, I didn't feel like that really stopped the Broncos. They were still chunking it around. But a lot of teams started young quarterbacks or new quarterbacks, whatnot. And I think people maybe were trying to establish the run a little bit. I think also because so many of these defenses have been built to stop the pass, now people are kind of zigging when they zag. Hey, let's load up and try to run the football down. Like, I think that's what the Bills are clearly doing. Like, the Bills have decided, hey, we were really good between the 20s, but we haven't been a great red zone offense. We're going to run the football, and we're going to be better in the red zone. And they were pretty good in the red zone. But I do think it's interesting now that maybe the running game is back a little bit.
I mean, you look at last night and how San Francisco was able to run the ball with massive success. You look at Friday night and Saquon Barkley. So I think you're on to something, but I still don't think at the end of the day it leads to more money for running backs. I mean, once again, Jordan Mason shows up out of nowhere and rushes for 147 yards last night on Monday Night Football against one of the best defenses in the league.
No, I think you're right. My working theory is the only way it ever leads to more money for running backs is if you get one of these teams that goes, you know what, we don't have a top 5 to 8 quarterback. We got someone that's kind of firmly in the middle. What if we zig when everybody zags and we're going to load up? It's kind of like, you know, if everybody's valuing receivers, quarterbacks, whatnot, like let's value the running game. Let's value our offensive line. But the odds of that, I think the bigger problem is most people believe like the difference between the most special running back and league average running back just isn't that significant.
Yeah, I mean, Christian McCaffrey got paid. Saquon, to an extent, got paid. But both of those guys, I mean, more so Christian McCaffrey than Saquon, but both those guys are great catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, your days of, I mean, Look at the carousel that went around. Like Josh Jacobs, he leaves Oakland or Las Vegas. He goes to Green Bay for a minimal deal. Aaron Jones, he looked good last week for Minnesota. He leaves Green Bay to go to Minnesota. And it's just all these guys are just going to be kind of playing this carousel game unless you're, you know, something special. Like, you know.
Well, I mean, think, because I have experience, obviously, with Saquon. And do not get me wrong. Saquon was awesome, and the reality is, after the 22 season, the Giants should have paid Saquon, not Daniel Jones. But if you look at Saquon's whole career, and even if you look at Christian McCaffrey's whole career, while they've both been awesome, they haven't like, they really haven't translated into, okay, all of a sudden, this team went from, you know, mediocre team to great team. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, and then on top of that, you know, it's, Saquon's tough to stay healthy. McCaffrey didn't play last night.
And that's the thing, too, when you think about, you know, CeeDee Lamb getting paid and all these wide receivers getting paid. One wide receiver, you know, the year when Terrell Owens went to Philadelphia with McNabb, that took them to another level. They made the Super Bowl. He broke his leg and they lose to the Patriots. But very rarely do I feel like one wide receiver is the sole difference for a team getting to the next level, right? It's always, you know, it's kind of like what Kansas City is doing, right? They're just kind of layering these people in. Obviously, Kelsey's the highest paid tight end in the league, but you're bringing in Isaiah Worthy. You're getting Hollywood Brown. You're bringing back Juju, and you're just kind of throwing them out there and just seeing how it's going to all fit. Now, it's probably not fair to say that, considering Patrick Mahomes may go down as the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. So that makes it a little more unique. But
I mean, to your point, let's use a non Mahomes example, but an example of a quarterback that we think is good. Burrow. When Burrow has Chase and Higgins on the field, that offense looks like it's unstoppable. But it's almost like if you just take one of them off the field, well, they start to look a little pedestrian. Now, the only issue I'm having right now with Burrow is he is a notoriously slow starter, and I'm still not ready to say like they're in panic mode, but that also looks like a team that missed Joe Mixon too.
I mean, it's crazy that the Bengals, well, Joe Mixon also went off.
I mean, unreal.
Well. Yeah, so no doubt. So that's another situation. You let a running back go, and he was really, really good in week one. I mean, it's just crazy that the Bengals, they were gifted this schedule. You're a slow starter. How about you have the Patriots, Commanders, and Panthers 3 out of the first 4 weeks? But instead, they lose to the Patriots, and now they've got to go on the road to Kansas City, where knowing Cincinnati, they'll probably end up covering and might even win the damn game outright because that's just what they do. Cincinnati right now is a 6-point underdog. You know, so I was in on the Bengals to win the AFC North this year. And I'm not trying to overreact, but, man, you can't lose to the Patriots at home.
No, and
it's the NFL. I know crazy things happen, but, I mean, but you can't lose to the Patriots
at home. What was your stat that, I mean, you even said it, I think, on Friday, that if the Patriots win on Sunday, what was it, like 60% of the Super Contest would be done?
Oh, so Circa Survivor in Las Vegas, the world's largest contest, over 14,000 entries into a pool. Each entry is $1,000. So the pool is $14.6 million, I think it is. And 35% of the pool, 4,800 folks, had the Bengals, and they're gone.
And I mean,
And look, I wasn't in it this year. I don't know. I probably would have went Seattle. And I know it's easy for me to say considering they won. I just really like that spot for Seattle, you know, facing a rookie quarterback and Bo Nix, who I do not believe in. But I totally understood why people went Cincinnati, considering New England was the biggest underdog on the board. And they won the game outright.
You know, I think this says a guy that had, like, the Bengals in about three different parlays that ruined his weekend. I do think what I would have gone with was the Bucs, simply because I felt pretty good, exactly what you were talking about. It was going to be Jaden Daniels' first start against the Todd Bowles defense. I felt pretty good about that. And then I also felt pretty good that the Bucs would be able to move it on Washington's defense. And then the other flip side is, like, how many other times are you going to really feel good about taking the Bucs? And I think that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah. No, I think there were, I mean, you know, a bunch of people used New Orleans. I was very down on New Orleans. I actually thought Carolina would be better. Boy, was I wrong. They looked tragic. Bryce Young looks awful. But it is kind of funny to think right now, as I'm going to pull up the odds, you know, you mentioned overreaction. So week one, Caleb Williams threw for over under 100 yards. Jaden Daniels ran for two touchdowns. I think he ran for like 70 or 80 yards. And then Bo Nix didn't play very well. Ladd McConkey scored a touchdown. Like, offensive rookie of the year this year could be really interesting, considering, you know, Xavier Worthy's gotten off to the start that he has. I don't think it's sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is,
I think Caleb will get better. I think Jaden will get better. I think at the end of the day, and I'm not going on a limb here because they're the two betting favorites, I would be pretty surprised if Caleb or Jaden Daniels did not win Rookie of the Year.
I wouldn't hate, what's the McConkey value? I wouldn't hate a little flyer on that because they don't have a ton of weapons.
I mean, the only problem is, I mean, you know, from the old gambling world, it's, you know, now you're buying it at what seems to be at the all-time high price. But he's 16-1 at DraftKings. I could look around and see what else he is. But, yeah, the Chargers really don't have weapons. That's why I thought the Raiders, knowing that they would have home field advantage there in Los Angeles, I actually like the Raiders plus the 3 this weekend. And they're, I mean, I knew they would be bad. They're really bad. And then, I mean, one of the all-timers, the punt from Antonio Pierce, is one of the all-time
I thought they had the graphic wrong on TV.
Fourth and one.
I couldn't believe it. I thought I missed something. It was like the graphic's wrong, right?
Punted the ball
down by one
in the fourth quarter. Like, with 7:15 to go in the fourth quarter. Like, it is one of the most, like, if you're a player on the Raiders, how can you even look at your coach if that's the decision he's going to make? And what happened? Of course, the Chargers go down a 92-yard touchdown drive. Game over.
This is unreal. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our college football awards segment. We will, of course, have to talk about Notre Dame. We'll get Tim's thoughts there. But also want to remind you, program is brought to you by Birdies. It's, of course, Memphis's number one spot for indoor golf, located in the historic South Main District of downtown at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Three simulators, virtual putting course, full-service bar. Also, check out their membership options, because membership options are great. For $100 a month, you get 10 hours on the simulator. That's roughly 10 bucks an hour by my math, and normally those rates are $40 an hour. You'll also get fantastic discounts like 20% off food and merch. Your fees are waived for league and tournament play. You also get $10 off golf rates for the guests. Also, 20% off golf rates for members if they exceed their 10 hours. You can get all the full details at golf@birdies.com. Also, league play will be starting up here. We'll have an October through November league. Make sure you're paying attention to their Instagram page, @birdies901, as well as right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll give you all the details when we get there. When we come back, let's get into college football. We'll do it next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I think before we get there, we have to have our Notre Dame minute. I want the whole audience to know this, because Tim is, he loves his Irish, but I've met many worse Notre Dame fans than Murray. I also want this to be noted. Quote, if it wasn't my team, I would be all over Northern Illinois plus 28. Those were his exact words. And he did also throw the caveat, who did NIU fillet in week one?
Western Illinois.
Yeah, you also thought, man, maybe like that was holding you back. With that being said, there's one thing to think that 28 points is getting a lot of value. It's a completely another to have them win outright.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see how the year goes, but it probably will be the biggest surprising result of the entire college football season. By the way, if you go into the FCS ranks, Notre Dame actually wasn't the biggest upset of the weekend. Apparently, Drake pulled off a victory as a 34-point underdog at Eastern Washington. So you got that going for you, Notre Dame. You weren't the worst team, apparently, according to odds makers. I mean, there's no ways about it. I mean, it's an embarrassment. You can't lose that game. And here's the thing. Like, I watched every second of it very painfully. And this was not a game where, and yes, Northern Illinois won the turnover margin. Northern Illinois was the better football team on Saturday.
And I think that was what was shocking about it.
That's the crazy thing where Al Golden, who is Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, and I still believe Notre Dame has one of the best defenses in the country, he was out schemed, and they figured things out. They were, you know, moving with pace. They, you know, had a couple big chunk plays early on in the game. And, you know, at the end of the day, a couple things now are starting to reemerge where it's like, look, full disclosure, I was excited when Notre Dame got Sam Hartman. I was wrong. I was excited, even more excited, when they got Riley Leonard. And it certainly looks like I was wrong there, too. I didn't think he was this bad of a pocket passer. And he's missing open guys. And, you know, at the end of the game, not the reason Notre Dame lost, there are a multitude of reasons why Notre Dame lost, but it was second and one at midfield. It's about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Notre Dame's up by one, and they decided to try to take a shot downfield. Now, if you look at the play, there were two guys wide open underneath. They should have run the ball first and foremost because Northern Illinois had not scored a point in the second half. And at that point, you need to recognize this is a horrible game, but what would make things a lot worse is if we lost.
Yeah.
And just get a first down, take two more minutes off the clock. You're running the ball decently well. Look, Marcus Freeman needed to beat Texas A&M. He did. And now everything that he gained in the good graces from that victory, he is now lost, and then some, against Northern Illinois. And, you know, this is a football program that invested $9 million in Al Golden, their defensive coordinator, $9 million to go get Mike Denbrock, their offensive coordinator, not annually, but over a four-year stretch there. Got a lot of money on this roster, whether it was retaining players from a year ago, bringing them back for a sixth year, going to get Riley Leonard. And this was a team that, you know, people were penciling in, not even penciling in, Jeffrey. They were putting him in pen in the playoff. They're going to be the 5 seed. And now they've got to win out, in my mind. I know there are some people who don't believe they could get in. I think they get in if they win out because USC looks the part right now.
Yeah. And that'll be like the last game of the year.
And that's the last game of the regular season. But, I mean, I don't know how you can watch them lose to Northern Illinois and be like, don't worry, they're going to win 10 straight games to finish this thing out. I'm like, okay, we'll believe it when I see it. But, phew.
I mean, yeah. I think another thing that could help, Northern Illinois looks more than just like a, like normally good MAC teams, like they look to me like to be like MAC plus good.
Yeah, I mean they talked about it on the broadcast, and I'm sure many of you did not watch it because it was excruciating, and you probably were watching, you know, better football. But they're a veteran laden team, and they did not, I don't think, I think they lost like 2 players of the portal. That's it, which is pretty surprising, which also sometimes says something about your roster construction if you're not losing players to the portal.
Or maybe they're one of the MAC teams that has a little bit of money.
I mean, Toledo has the most money. I know that. I don't know who's next from where that stands. But look, I'll say this, man, as NIU's head coach, rightfully so, is doing the tour. He's on everywhere you look. Dan Patrick Show, ESPN, I mean, Jim Rome. He's been on everything. He said it after the game. It's a good thing they're not playing this weekend. They would lose this weekend to whoever they played. Maybe not Western Illinois, but they would lose this weekend, or it would be very painful. I mean, this is why every week, man, I do this. Letdown spots are real in college football. They are absolutely real. And if you're a bettor, sometimes they're spectacular. And if you had Northern Illinois plus 28, that's probably the easiest win you're going to have all year because Notre Dame wasn't even threatening to cover that spread. Maybe after the first drive, you thought, oh, this could be troublesome. But after that, It was a game that was played at a snail's pace, and they got beat up. So pretty embarrassing performance there. Always great when a school gives another school $1.4 million to come and beat them.
that's right. All right, let's get into it. Team of the week. Obviously, Northern Illinois has got quite the case.
Sure.
I think Texas has quite the case.
They look real, man.
I think Cal has quite the case.
You know, I guess, being in Memphis, I imagine there's some Auburn folks down in that area.
Well, you know, Hugh Freeze made this is where he started his high school career.
That's true. So, Cal won this game, and they were missing a ton of dudes.
They were missing their top 2 receivers, I believe 2 offensive linemen, and 2 of their best defenders.
And their best player, their best pro prospect is Jaden Ott, the running back.
Yep.
He had 11 yards on 10 carries. And Cal should have won by more. That last interception they got called back due to defensive pass interference was bogus. I mean, Cal went down there and took it from from Auburn. That was really impressive by Justin Wilcox's squad to go in there with all the roster issues and to win that game. So they deserve a boatload of credit for that win.
I think I'm going with Texas. And I understand I'm someone that came into the week. We'll talk about like what we got right. I came into the week thinking like Michigan wasn't like fooling us. They were showing us what they were. And offensively, they were just going to have problems because they're having to play the quarterback that they had no intention of playing. With that being said, I found myself even more impressed by Texas because I thought, like, when Texas beat Alabama last year, a large part of it was hitting really big plays, and they get credit for that. I'm not diminishing the win. But this was a lot of, like, Quinn Ewers just kind of looking like a dude. Like, it was moving around in the pocket, big-time throws on third down, getting to his second, his third options. Like, I just found it wildly impressive what they did. And then defensively, you know, I understand we talked about, like, when you know the team's one-dimensional, it's a lot easier to stop. But, like, they weren't selling out to stop the run. I think they just kind of controlled both lines of scrimmage. And to me, where I was a little worried was, well, what if Michigan winds up controlling both lines of scrimmage? This just turns into like a slop fest. Okay, well, now I'm asking a team to cover a touchdown plus. I just thought they put the game away in the first half, and in the second half, it was just cruise control. I found myself going, you know what? I thought I was going to be looking most forward to Oregon, Ohio State, as like if you can only pick one game. I now was like, I'm turning the page. I'm ready. I'm looking most forward to Texas, Georgia. Like, I think that thing could just be like a banger.
I agree with basically everything you said. And I was, you know, what we got wrong, I thought it was an overreaction. I thought it was too much. I thought Michigan could, I didn't think they would win necessarily. I didn't have any Michigan money line, but I had, you know, when it got north of a touchdown, I thought Michigan was the right side. And even after the first drive where Texas misses the field goal, I was like, yeah, I think I'm in trouble here. Because immediately after that, Michigan comes out, does nothing offensively. And, yeah, this Michigan team's got issues. But to walk into the Big House and to just dominate like Texas did, Quinn Ewers right now, I mean, the majority of the talk this offseason was who could be the number one overall pick. Is it Carson Beck? Is it Shador Sanders from a quarterback standpoint?
Yep. Hey, I'm an interested party.
It's Ewers or Beck. I mean, that's where I'm at now. It's not Shador. I think it's Ewers or Beck. And I'm not a talent evaluator, so maybe I'm getting
Room for Cam Ward, but I think that you're right.
I think Cam Ward will be that quarterback who makes the rise, and maybe he will. You know, we always see players like Cam Ward. I mean, Kyler Murray ended up being the number one overall pick. So it's certainly possible. You know, a couple of years ago, I would say, you're crazy. No way. I'm not saying that anymore because the game has changed.
Yeah.
And he's such a dynamic athlete. But he makes a lot of boneheaded decisions from time to time. But as the year goes on, his stock should continue to rise. But yeah, for me, I think right now it's Ewers versus Beck. Ewers has really impressed me so far this year, and that just looked easy. And, you know, keep this in mind, right? They lost their leading rusher to the NFL. Their big-time recruit from 2 years ago, Baxter, he's out for the year. Jaden Blue got hurt during this game.
Yep.
And they really didn't seem to skip a beat, man. And, you know, Sark has his deficiencies, no doubt, but he could scheme it up as well as anybody. And, you know, I know Saban gives him a lot of credit for kind of bringing them into the 21st century, so to speak. But I'll give you this real quickly. I had Michigan plus 7.5, which was dead wrong side. You know, something you just move on, terrible decision. But I had first half under 21.5. And it was 17-3 with a minute to go. Michigan had the ball.
Yep.
They were facing a third down in like 12 or 13. They get the ball to their best player, Colston Loveland, and he just drops the football.
After he'd caught it, unfortunately.
After he catches it, he was like trying to exchange it to his left hand, just dropped it. Texas recovers, and immediately I'm like, well, they're going to score. Now, you know, could Texas, they had all three timeouts, have gone the length of the field to get a field goal attempt? I think it's certainly possible the way that they were moving the ball, but yeah, that was...
I think it was also certainly possible that they would have sat there and said, I mean, depending on how good the punt was.
It was 17-3, and if they had pinned him inside the 5-yard line, yeah, they could be like, yeah, let's go in the locker room.
Boys, we're good. Like, we're playing well. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
And that was one. Because I told my wife, I was like, Tim's on the first half under, and he really needs the split. And right, that's like literally as that play is happening, and she's like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, as soon as he fumbled, I'm like, it's over. There's no way. There's no way. So, look, Texas, and I know we'll get into this a little bit later on the show, but it feels like Texas has replaced Oregon as it's Georgia, Ohio State, and Texas. Because to be honest, I didn't have any anti-Texas money out there this offseason, but I wasn't fully in on this Texas team. And I'm getting there now. They look
totally
really, really
agree.
Talented.
And I know that's football brain overreaction, but I was the same way. I was like, I was not someone that was fading Texas, but I was someone that was like, I'm going to have to see it first. And I was like, we're giving them a lot of the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, it's because they went in
when Alabama was a mess on offense and they popped them, and they did. Like, there's, like, to me, it's like that was a final score that actually was closer, really, than really I felt like. Like, that game to me was like, I felt like Texas was the right side all along. All right, dumpster fire of the week.
Well, Notre Dame.
Okay, help me out here. Why is it just because Freeman, like, coaches on emotion? It just feels like they do this roller coaster where they have weeks where you're like, I'm ready to buy in on you. Like, I am. And then it's just like, oh, my God. Like, what is it? Like, I think that's, like, in the end, we can talk about all the millions of things that made Nick Saban successful. What I found the most impressive is for as long as he was the head coach after year one, that team week in, week out, you could beat them, but they just, like, they don't have, like, these just pure, like, no-shows. And that to me is, like, maybe his lasting legacy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's the biggest fault right now for Marcus Freeman. And year one, I give him a little bit of a pass because they put so much into the opener against Ohio State,
yeah,
which on the road, prime time, his alma mater, and they laid an absolute egg the following week and lost to Marshall. And then later on in the season, they lost again to Stanford, a bad Stanford team, the final installment of David Shaw's Stanford team. And it felt like last year they had kind of righted that wrong. However, the two games they didn't show up for didn't look as bad, but they were pretty bad. They went on the road to Louisville. They actually had the lead in the third quarter.
That was a loss for your boy.
And then Louisville ultimately just kind of ran away and hid. And then they went down to Clemson and played like absolute crap. But it felt like late in that season, maybe they had figured it out from that standpoint where they, you know, destroyed a bad Pitt team in what was a tricky spot. But you can't have this happen, man. You can't, Penn State found a way to win against Bowling Green, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Solid Verbal podcast, my boys Ty Hildenbrandt and Dan Rubenstein, they have a saying. It's great. Win your clunkers. And you gotta win your clunker. And now, from a guy that was like, there were takes out there after they beat Texas A&M saying Notre Dame made a mistake not giving him an extension during the offseason. And now it's, well, this guy should be fired. So it's just wild, man. I mean, think about it this from a gambling standpoint. Notre Dame was -300 to make the playoff after beating Texas A&M, and now they're +350.
And I still think that's kind of an overreaction. Like, I understand.
We got to find out what they are. Like, I think you got to see what they put on the field on Saturday in West Lafayette, because now you've got the report that Riley Leonard hurt his non-throwing shoulder. He didn't attempt a run in the second half. And if he's one-dimensional, he's not a good quarterback.
No, because he really, like, there's a reason why he was a two-star. And it wasn't because of level of
He is a very good athlete.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't want to call him elite, but very good. And when they beat Clemson a year ago, Duke, Riley Leonard had the big play, a big touchdown run. When they beat or lost to Notre Dame, they came back, took the lead because of Riley Leonard using his legs. Notre Dame beat Texas A&M mostly in part because the defense was awesome, but Riley Leonard used his legs and rushed for over 60 yards. Their opening drive where they went right down the field, he ran into the end zone. Like, you got to think long and hard, like, dude, if this guy can't run, he's not good for us, and we got to move on to the backup quarterback. So, yeah, it's going to be – I'm fascinated to see, because there's part of my brain that says they're going to be ready to go to take on Purdue. But there's also part of my brain saying this offense might just stink if he has to be a pocket passer.
All right, I've got a new submission. What's going on in Colorado?
They're not very good. They have a pro quarterback and a pro wide receiver, and that's it.
I don't know if Shepard's like a 10-year guy, but like I think Shepard's a upper echelon college receiver. Like, I think receiver wise they're good, but I think it's just pretty simple. Like, everybody knows their offensive line can't block. They're refusing to run it, primarily probably because they think they can't run it. And then everybody's just teeing off on Shador. And then defensively, it's like they thought they beefed up on the defensive line thinking that would matter. And it's like, I don't know, man, like Nebraska blocked them pretty easily. And now you have the whole, are they, you know, did they ask the school when Shador throws a touchdown pass to not play the fight song so they can play his single? Like, you've got, you know, Deion saying, like, we got to block better. You got Shiloh.
Well, Shador said something after the game about, you know, Dylan Raiola, and did he take any hits?
And it's like, yeah, I do think that's like, I think that is a legitimate point, but I think the bigger problem is, well, your dad is in charge of your offensive line. Like, you got a whole new offensive line again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, this isn't the NFL where it's like, you have to draft.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.